Dímelo, it's your girl La Loca from Radio 103.9, and you're about to hear the exclusive audio of our latest Stage 17 performance. For the full video, head over to stage17nyc.com.
Exclusive interviews and performances from the world of music, movies, politics, and more. All on one stage. From the heart of New York City, Cumulus Media presents Live from Stage 17.
Okay, I'll give it up once again for Mary J. Blige.
Thank you.
Mary, welcome home.
Thank you. Thank you. How's everybody doing?
We are great. We are good. Excited.
Good.
Mary, you are our biggest star to date. You're the biggest star anyway. They don't get much bigger than Mary J. Blige. After Mary J. Blige, where are you going to go?
Oh, come on. There's places to go now.
Very few places. So, Mary, let's see.
Yes.
ASCAP said, Blige's music has been the voice of inspiration to women worldwide in both struggle and triumph. Over 50 million albums and 25 million singles worldwide. Make some noise for Mary J. And this was in 2013. Damn! That was 2013, Mary. You were at 50 million plus in 2013. How many more have you sold since then? Billboard Magazine's most successful female R&B artist of the past 25 years. So Mary, born in the Bronx, raised in Yonkers, and, you know, I think our generation, we have lived Mary J. Blige. You have been our soundtrack. We've been there. You know, we witnessed the struggles. We witnessed the growth. You know, you actually are the Cinderella story from, you know, that person who, you know, growing up dreamed of having the kind of success, and you have it now. And you've had it for quite some time. And so I was going to hop into almost like the order of the music. But first, Mary, what is, you know, I think for all of us, you know, and all of us, you know, some of us have kids now, and we all dream and we want to live our dreams. What does it feel like when you, you know, to be that little girl, to then have the career? What is the feeling of success? What does that feel like?
To be a little girl that just wanted to sing in front of a mirror, and
yeah,
all I ever wanted to do was sing, and I didn't even understand what success was. I just wanted to sing because it made me feel free, like I had wings, like I was escaping something, like I was doing something that made me feel good. And success is not just having a bunch of awards and stuff. It's actually being able to survive all of the things, you know, to have learned from so many things that, you know, I had to learn from, trials and tribulations, and to have survived and not be destroyed. You know, like, I'm not destroyed. I'm actually grateful and thankful for all the wonderful things that, you know, have happened to me. And I'm also grateful and thankful for the trials. I don't like the trials, but I'm grateful for them because they make me resilient and strong. That's success to me, because the money is saved. Thank you, Jesus. The money is amazing, you know? But the money doesn't have me here right now standing strong. And, you know, not in a place where I don't know who I am and I've lost my soul. So this is success, when you can get to a point where you know how to be wealthy, you know how to be broke, you know how to be wealthy, you know how to be broke, because it happens. You have money in this business, and then you don't have money, and people don't even know you don't have money. You know what I'm saying? Or you're in a relationship that people think is successful and is not, but you are resilient and you're walking through it. That's success to me.
Perfect.
Thank you.
So, Mary, you had, you know, it was kind of like we saw the growth. No, you know, we saw the growth. We saw, like you said, you know, the trials and tribulations. And then I think there was a period. I never forget. I took my mother, who's now in her 80s. I took her to the Essence Festival. And, you know, Essence Festival has all the stars there: Babyface, Frankie Beverly Mays, all the acts. And the thing that I thought was interesting was the act that stood out to my mother was Mary J. Blige, because Mary J. Blige gave us the music, but you also gave the women and gave those who were going through struggles and just gave those who were facing life a message. And I thought about it. I said, you know what? It's amazing. As talented as there are so many musicians who are so talented, their music is talent. But when you connect on that level, when you are not just a singer, you're that symbol, you're that person that they can relate to, it's a whole other thing. And I thought, you know, as amazing as Babyface is, not taking anything away from him, Babyface hasn't given us what Mary J. Blige gives us. But only Mary J. Blige can give us Mary J. Blige. When was the moment when you got that? You know what I mean? Because I think, you know, you start off, you're young, you're kind of, the industry's kind of doing you. Then you get to the point where you're kind of, you say, okay, this is what I want to do. When did that point happen for you? Around what album? What year or what time?
I mean, I always been doing what I wanted to do since What's the 411. I've been just like, I don't want to call myself an animal, but I just did what I wanted to do. And with people like Puffy around who allow you to, which is what has us here right now, you know, because if you're able to do what you want to do and it speak freely, your expression, who you are, like, you know, you can't lose like that. This is why I'm here, because I was always, it, you know, from album to album, I did what I wanted to do. I spoke on the My Life album, you know, the diary, not the diary, but the, you know, the therapy, you know, that's what started, you know, the whole relationship with my fans. I spoke on Share My World. I said, this is what I am, you know, Share My World. I spoke on the Mary album. I said, okay, I'm an artist. I'm not just the queen of hip hop soul. I spoke on No More Drama. I said, okay, all hell has broken loose. And I just didn't want to, you know, now we're about to get into it. And I just don't want no more drama. I spoke on the Love and Life album. I expressed myself with my brother Puff again. And then the breakthrough, I broke through. I broke through something. I got through a ceiling. And then there was growing pains. There was a lot of growing pains. So everything I've done and every album that I've titled, like, it was all me doing what I wanted to do.
And they all were amazing works of art. And the imaging, if you go to any of the, you know, now everybody's, you have the download services, but if you just look, if you just go through Mary's album, the look, everything's perfect, man. It's just, and it's, and it almost does symbolize different stages of your development of life. And I think, who's been responsible, Mary? Like, you have killed the game since day one as far as the Mary J. Blige look, the image, all that. Who's responsible for that?
I mean, I'm not responsible for styling my hair and stuff like that, but I am responsible for what I want to look like. I'll go through magazines and say, you know, I'll go to the models, or I'll go to, you know, you got to get inspired from somebody. And I say, I like this haircut, or I like this hair color, or I like these boots, or I like these shoes. And the stylist will bring a rack of clothes in, and I just know what I want. And sometimes I don't always get it right, because there's a lot of horrible styling, you know, hiccups that I have out there. But though, that's the trials, you know, you learn what not to do. But overall, it's me. Yeah.
And so Mary, you know, like you said, you know, this body of work, which I know everybody I know has an album, for my wife is my life, an album that touches their, that aligns with a certain portion of their life or what they were going through. And when I listen to, you know, the Mary J, for me, as far as just the songs go, Not Gonna Cry, I was walking the other day, you know, when you get your walk on and listen, you can hear everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm listening to Not Gonna Cry, which is just it's perfect in every aspect of that song. Your delivery, you know, the baby face, the, you know, from the scene to the movie to what it's saying. I was like, this song is so Mary J. Do you have a top three of songs that you go, yeah, that was the one, or not necessarily? I mean, you have such a huge body of work. Do you have any that stand out for you?
Okay, this is hard, but I know Love No Limit, the original, the jazzy, like, that it does something to me. Because I think the fact that I was even able to do that at that age in my life, and that time in my life, I'm capable of being a jazz singer. And it's just so dark and moody. And it's not hip hop soul. It's just it's all jazz. So that makes me like happy. Like, I accomplished something earlier.
Yes.
That, you know, a lot of young R&B singers don't. I did a jazz record. So yeah, and then you have, of course, it's so many songs, but that's one of them. That's one of them that stands out for me.
Yeah, and like you said, I think the thing about the young Mary was, you just brought yourself. It wasn't trained at Juilliard. It wasn't trained at Berkeley. It wasn't, I played in a band for 50 years. I brought myself, and you were honest, and that connected with us. So now, Mary, you were 2017, Mary, when that whole thing about, you did the remake of Sweet Thing, and then Chaka Khan, you had a conversation, and then now, So is that just a part of the growth, as you look at it from back, now to back then, and now you're probably in the state of, you can look at some of these younger artists and be like, okay, how do you look at that situation now? Is that just a part of the growth and just a learning experience?
What situation?
As far as
the situation I had with Chaka?
When you covered Sweet Thing, and the people were like, was there ever a conversation between Chaka, or was that just the media?
It wasn't a real conversation. She just said, you've got to stay on your key. Mm-hmm. Because I have a tendency, and I know this, like, I'll go here and go here. Like, I'm not an opera singer, so I always end up landing flat somewhere, some way. But that's been the voice that has spoken to my generation. It has never been something perfect. It's always been, out of pocket. So when Chaka Khan said, you should learn how to stay on your key, that's something that I went to try to study. How can I stay on my key? Because I love Chaka Khan. Like, she could tell me anything. Mm. She told me, she said, and this is the other thing she said. She said, because remember back in the days when your roots were darker than your hair? That was when it first started. Now it's the hot thing. She was like, you should dye your hair, your roots, the same color as your hair, and you should learn how to stay on key. I said, got it. And I love you to death, Chaka Khan, for that. So, and it's a lot of, and she gave me another thing she said, and you need to get out of your own way. But I think she meant that vocally, but I took it in my life. Mm. it just helped me, been helping me through my life. So, yeah.
And I tell you what, I think the interesting thing about technique and anything about truth is that everything we believe from day one. I remember the first time I heard, you remind me. Mm-hmm. Everything you sang, we believe. And that's what Mary J. Blige is. So technically, because I hear that a lot of times, especially jazz musicians, they get on the technical piece and people get on the thing. But are you saying, are people believing what you're saying? And I think we've always believed because you've been honest enough to share with us, which is a gift, and we thank you for it. And all your music is there for us. And we can go back through when we're going through those tough times, and we can say, this song speaks to what I'm going through right now. So we thank you for that, Mary, and we thank you for.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank
y'all. Thank y'all for listening. Thank you.
And what about? I love the fact, Mary. Like, we're in this age now that everything is like just social media, just be a headline, And this Deconstructed is great because it allows us to have a more in-depth conversation with you, and it's not like. There's so many, these sites they want you to click on it, So nowadays, same thing happened with you and Chaka Khan, Mary J and Chaka Khan are beefing, da-da-da, click the headline, whatever. And so it doesn't even allow for people to have real normal conversations. And you rarely even hear their side of a conversation. It's just, boom, a headline. You actually were in a time when they didn't have social media, and it's now grown into that. What's the difference now than when you first started, as far as with social media and with people always commenting on things?
I mean, I think the difference is, like, if there was a social media back then, I don't know if I would last. I don't know if I would be here right now. But everything is exposed, so that causes people to hide more, or it causes people to just, want to be heard and say whatever they want to say. So I think the difference is lack of discretion. There is no... There's nothing that's a mystery anymore. There's nothing that's a secret anymore. And people like myself got to be careful. I just can't be just wilding out because then it'll be somebody with their phone camera. And I have to be careful how I speak to people because I could be, having an argument with someone in the store and they could just take one side of it. And if I'm right, they'll depict me as wrong, like all that stuff. So I just think we just got to be careful. If we don't want to just blend into the ignorance of social media, because it's something, it's good stuff about social media, but then if you're not careful, you can end up in the whole, and anybody can get it. Anybody can get memed, anybody can get it at any moment. So, nobody's safe, so.
So, Mary, you know, with again, you know, the honesty of a Mary J. Blige, and everybody's like, yo, you know, where's your list of questions for Mary? You know, I said, there really wasn't a list of questions. So, you know, I was watching a documentary on Aretha Franklin, and it seems, you know, the successful woman, the successful artist, mega successful artist, you know, there's like, there's been a million stories of how, you know, they got married to somebody or that person took advantage of them or it ended this way, it ended that way. When you first started, I love what you said. At the end of the day, you're in it. You're resilient. You're tough. You're in it for the journey and you won't be defeated. And we've seen people be defeated in scenarios. You know, your marriage didn't work for whatever reason and you're moving forward. I love that. I love the fact that you won't be bent, you won't be bowed, you won't be broken. How did you have the strength to do it? And what's your takeaway from, you know, this experience, you know, as married Mary?
Just prayer and not wanting to lose just my life. When I think about what my life means to me and what God meant for my life to mean to me, I just can't let anybody take it away from me. I think about how many times I've had suicidal thoughts and how I could have missed out on so many beautiful things if I had done that. So now it's like I'm not going to let any sickness, any marriage, anything, have me chip away at myself to the point where I'm just ready to die. I love my life. I really, really learned. I didn't used to love my life, but I love my life now. And I love my life because it seems like it's always trying to be taken away from me. Like somebody always wants to see me down, see me depressed, see me. So I have to keep building myself up. And that's what keeps me going. Prayer and realizing the gift that God gave me is my life. Not just my voice. That's just a ministry. My voice and how I touch people. But I have no voice or no ministry. And I have no way to let God see or have him proud of me if I don't take care of my life.
Love it. Go ahead, girl. Preach, Mary.
Thank you. I'm not preaching.
Well, and I think because you give us honesty, I think as an actress, you're excellent because that's what acting really is. So you have actually a project coming out. What we got coming up? Mudbound?
Yes.
What is this?
This is...
What the hell is Mudbound? You can't be fly and be in the mud, Mary.
Well, I'm not flying. You're not even going to recognize me in this movie. So it's a movie that's based in the 40s. And it's about basically what we're living right now, how, you know, after the election and, you know, just things that have happened that make us realize how much we need each other, black people, white people, and how much we're in this. Like, everybody's really starting to realize, like, gosh, we really need each other. We really have to help each other get through this because, you know what I mean? Like when you really look at it, like, we all we got. You understand what I'm saying? Without me trying to say something else. So that's what the movie is about. It's about these families, this black family, this white family coming together and, you know, not so quickly, but under different circumstances, realizing that they need each other. Black woman's family, her son goes to war. It means nothing when he comes home. He was a captain and a sergeant in the German war over there, and he comes home, and he's just another nigga, excuse me, but that's how they look at him. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they call him in the film. And my character is Florence Jackson, and my family, we're a strong black family. And we're just trying to get through it, but it's really about how love has no color. And at the end of the day, I can end up at your house helping you with your children, or you can end up at my house helping me with my husband with his broken leg. And it's just about love. And it's a very powerful film. You have to see it. This is the best way I can explain it, but it's a powerful film. It went to Sundance. It was the number one shown film at Sundance. And out of 13 of the breakout stars, I was one of them. So
breaking out.
Thank you, Judy.
I love it. So in the new project, you got a single with Kanye.
Yes.
How was it working with Ye? With Jesus?
I didn't get a chance to work with Kanye, but I definitely got a chance to go over to his house, sit with him and have a real conversation with him about what I wanted. I've always been a Kanye fan. I will forever be a Kanye fan because he's just genius and blessed. Mm. And I was blessed to have him on the record. And I was blessed to have him spit, you know, what he's saying on the record. Like, it just sounds like, yes, this is, we need this from you right now, Kanye. So, yeah, that's, it's called Love Yourself.
So let's go through a couple of associations because you work with everybody. So Bono.
What about
how was it working with Bono? What was that experience like?
He's beautiful. Like, seriously, like, that's my first reaction. Bono is beautiful. He's just beautiful. He's just love, and but he's smart, you know, and sharp, but everything is love, you know. Some people just love.
Drake.
Really smart, gentleman, sweet. I mean, just dope. What you see is what you get.
I love that verse on Mr. Wrong.
Yeah, like, but he's okay. Also on the one. That was the first record he was on. Let's count Mr. Wrong out because I don't think Drake wanted to be on Mr. Wrong. But I appreciate him for everything. Yeah.
Beyonce.
Love Beyonce. She's just Beyonce. Like, there's no other words that can say she's B.
This one people may not know, but I do a feature called Who Did It Best? And so I did with you and Gerald Levert. Mm-hmm. How was working with Gerald Levert?
Did I even work with Gerald Levert?
Was it just a track?
I think it was a track.
It was perfectly produced.
Yeah, it was just a track. Yeah, but I loved him too.
Mm. B.I.G.
Come on. Love, miss. Mm. I think he was the greatest. I think he was one of the greatest. Like, when you think about what James Brown meant to every generation forever, that's what Biggie would forever mean to all of us. Like, he's... was that rhythmic, and, you know, yeah.
And with I love the producers. The producers give you a different feel, you know, like, mm-hmm. to me, Puffy was the first time, I think, like, the first time we heard you, mm-hmm. and that kind of, like, always keep it New York, keep it, you know, and then L.A. and Babyface adds, you know, different, and then Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, mm-hmm. I think, are, like, a little bit more lush, a little bit more jazzy.
Yeah, they polished me up. Babyface polished me all up with Not Gonna Cry. And then Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis just made me feel like I could have had like $1 billion and I was on my way, which I was on my way, but they made me feel special because we love Janet. When we think about Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, we think about Janet Jackson, and we all, ooh, I want to be like Janet. So, you know, I was, some of all of that was in there. I was so happy to work with them.
And so Jay, you know, what's Jay? Like, what is Jay to, who's Jay to you? Or what, you know, what's that vibe?
Jay is the genius. Jay is the, how can I say, he could see everything before it comes. He's just so insightful and dope and just flavorful and swagged out, but smart. And, he just, and realistic with himself, you know, like he's just an inspiration. Yeah.
So we got this new project. We got the new single with Kanye getting ready to drop. We got, what's the name of the new project?
The Strength of a Woman.
Strength of a Woman. There you go. Another Mary J. Blige classic. I love it. It's in stores, what, April 28th. You can pre-order. And Mary, we're just so blessed to have you in our life. You are family to us. You know, I mean, again, you're it doesn't get any better than Mary J. Blige, and we just wish you continued success. And
thank
we just
you.
I can't even imagine what's in the future, because I mean, you know, the acting piece, I see more and more of that musically. The thing I love about like this format, you know, this grown up format, is I tell artists, you got just as much in front of you as you have behind you. And I think a lot of artists I talk to, I don't think they believe it, but I believe you do. You know what I mean? I can see, you know, I think a lot of artists, for whatever reason, they don't really see it that way. But I can see you seeing it that way.
Well, I have to see it that way. A lot of artists don't see it that way because they are in the situation they're in. Mm. But if I have to see it that way because it's so dark in some places in my life right now. So I got to see this light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm. Well, we got you prayed up. We got
thank
you in
you.
Our prayers. Give it up for Mary J. Blige, guys.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to Live from Stage 17. We hope you enjoyed the show. Now head over to Stage17NYC.com for more exclusive Stage 17 content.
Hello, my name's Hayden Prowse.
I'm Julian Rubinstein.
And we're in no way biased in saying that you should listen to News Roast, which is our podcast.
It's a podcast that we did after making our BBC show, The Revolution Will Be Televised, where we explore political, satirical issues with the likes of Ramesh Ranganathan, Lily Allen, Adam Buxton, to name a few.
That's right. Get it now on your podcast app.